Open your Bible and turn with me tonight to the book of Joshua, please. While you're turning there, let me say that I sure have enjoyed preaching to the young people. I like it. I really do. I love it. And I don't think that I've ever been here. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I don't think I've ever been here that I've not had wonderful liberty to preach every night. That's wonderful. Well, there's been a few times if these walls could only talk. A few times. Well, I've seen it get cloudy around here a few times. I really have. Hey, the book of Joshua, please. I want you to find your place. There's a couple, three men here tonight that can't take real hard preaching, so I'll have to sort of tone down everything. I wouldn't call their name for nothing, but they're to my immediate right. The book of Joshua. Watch him look square-eyed at me now. Joshua, please. Chapter 11. Did I tell you? I was really waiting on Brother Nathan. Joshua, please, chapter 11. Now, I want you to find your place tonight and stay there with me. I appreciate Brother Larry. I've not talked to him. I've not communed with him. We've not compared notes. And I appreciate how the Lord sets the table. And you'd think after all these many years that I would be accustomed to that. But I'm telling you, it astounds me. It amazes me how the Lord can just put things together. Can you believe there's been a lot of times in my life, you know, and not have no idea what the Sunday school hour was or what they was teaching, and then come out and preach, and they say, you ain't going to believe what we just had in our Sunday school hour. Look at them faces. I'm going to bring me a mirror so y'all can all look at y'all's faces. Joshua chapter 11. And I'm going to read verse 15, please. Joshua 11, verse 15. Now, you ready? Joshua chapter 11, verse 15. As the Lord, L-O-R-D, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. Now, you need to underscore that in your Bible. You need to mark that in your Bible. Now, watch this. And so did Joshua, the Bible says, he left nothing undone of all the Lord commanded Moses. Now, what I want to do tonight for a little while, I want to use that phrase where it says, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua, he left nothing undone. Now, you need to do that. In Joshua 11, it says he left nothing undone. Now, do that for me. Our Father, we love you. Lord, it's been wonderful. Lord, I bless your wonderful name. God, please help us tonight. Lord, we're needful people. Lord, I pray you'd speak to my heart. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, help me not to say nothing, do anything that, Lord, I'd be ashamed of when I stand before you. And then, Lord, tonight, clothe me with my calling. Please bring to my mind that which I've studied. And then, Lord, I pray, God, I want no self-acclaim. Help me simply, Lord, just to lift up the Lord Jesus. And may he be exalted. May he be extolled, for we pray in his name. Amen. Boy, this has been on my mind all day. I preach every day of my life, every week of my life. In fact, usually I close down the second week of December and try to be home for Christmas, and then usually I start up usually about the second or third week of January. Well, ever since, this year, boy, I'd love for y'all to get in on this. Every year now, for the last several years, I'm at WTHL, which is 90.5. You can pick it up on the internet, but 90.5 there in Somerset, and those call letters are WTHL with the help of the Lord. And it's a 50,000-watt station. So every December now, they have me to come in the second week of December, and we have what you call Radio Revival Hour. And it's unbelievable at the people, the radio listeners that come to the church there, Somerset Baptist Temple. And I'm there every year. You cannot believe what a time we have. So anyway, that's the second week of December. This year, I started up the first week of January. Went to North Carolina and spent every week ever since then. So I leave here Friday night, get home Saturday, try to get my radio tapes made, and then I head to Albany, Kentucky, which I'll drive that every night. Hallelujah. I'll drive that every night. I do drive it sometimes when it's 2 hours. I have driven it 2 hours back and forth every night. Now, gas is so high, may get me a moped. Hey, man, go down the road just to fly in a moped. Can y'all picture Mary on the back of a moped? Y'all, you don't want to envision that, amen. She'll kill me. But anyway, what I want you to see, then the next week after that, I'm at New Heart Baptist Church, and then the next week after that, I had to head to Cincinnati, Ohio. And every week of my life, and somebody asked me, I said, Brother Noble, I can see an old car, and I can see what the car can be, not what it is. And my wife tells me my garage is what you call a man cave. She told me today, she said, you crawl off in your man cave. Well, when I get home, I do. I don't mind telling you now. I do, honestly, for God. I built me a 16 by 16 office, and so I go to my office, and I have to make ready. I'm on 5 radio stations Monday through Friday, so it's hard to keep up all the corners. So I'm saying this to get all this together. I'm sitting in my study, and this popped out on me. Look in your Bible in verses 15. Now, I can work on an old car, or I can help work on a building, and for the last 4 or 5 years, there's about 20 of us. I'm going to drag Jay off with me. I can't take Brother Noble because he can't take heights. There's about 20 of us that we go and we help churches. And we help build churches, and we built 5 of them. We took one church down in 3 and put it up in 5. Okay. That don't mean nothing to y'all, does it? And then moved it 77 miles. Really? Bought the church for $2,500. $2,500. The state was taking the church, and they gave him $690,000 for it. It was 8 years old, and we bought it for $2,500. And when they gave me the keys, everything on the inside of there was ours, or the church that we bought it for. I'm talking about the church is only 8 years old, but the kicker was that I had to move it in 90 days. 90 days. So the church that I'm a member of, Brother Broughton and them put up $10,000 bond. That's in case we go to jail. Just picking. So anyway, we had to put up a $10,000 bond. And so everything on the inside of that building, we got. Everything. Now, the church was 81 feet long and 42 feet wide. So I had them to build a basement exactly like that. We took the brick off, and all these young people got involved in our church. And literally, we sectioned that, took it down in 3, and then we put it up in 5. And they've got probably $400,000 building sitting on the side of a hill. Ain't that good? Amen. Boy, I love it. I love it. Hey, you ought to see that building. We built one for the Indians. I love it. There's about 20 of us. All I've got to do is make a phone call, and say, fellas, we got to work in North Carolina or Alabama or wherever we're going. And those men, they'll just drop everything. They're doctors. One man is saw cord in 2. I said, that stuff's going to waste. But what I want you to see is just men that's giving back to the Lord because he's been so good to us. Now, some of these men, you would never know it. They're doctors. Ain't that a sight? Wearing a pair of bibbed overalls. I work them like mine knew. He couldn't keep up me. Now, Jay might. I'll just white iron eat Jay. He about kills me, but I love it. I dearly love it. I do. I love it. I don't like to see churches have $4,000 and $5,000 building payments every month. What's wrong with us helping people like that? Amen. Jehovah's Witnesses do it. Why can't we do it? Amen. You need something constructive to do instead of just sitting there looking at me so square-eyed. I done picked that up from Noble. Let's hush this. All right. I'd love to take you. I wish these men like Tom would get retired and Noble get retired and Don get retired and Earl Dean there get retired. Oh, he's done been retired. We'd take James back there if he wouldn't say my sprain was broke. But I'd love it. Hey, all you got to do is, boys, we have a ball. We have a ball. You know the man that's here last night, your son-in-law? We took, there was 11 of us went up there, and the flood literally flooded out their church. Literally. The church, the flood, the Licking River ruined their church. There's some 30 of us all together. But when he got ready to build a new building, we went up there and framed it up for him and completed it in 5 days. 5 days. I love it. Just men giving back. My wife cooks. You know, and they love it. I go down to them Indians, and my wife, she loves cabbage and collard greens. I do too. Boy, y'all got past y'all's raising. Don't y'all know what even collards is down here? Huh? How many of y'all know what collards are? Raise your hand. Some of you, yeah, I done heard that plum up here. It's good eating. Joshua, please, chapter 11, verse 15. He says he left nothing undone. Boy, sitting in my study, boy, God burnt that in my heart. He left nothing undone. Let me ask you a question. How could he say that? How could this man, Joshua, say he left nothing undone? You have to go back to chapter 1. Go back there, just hurry, look in your Bible. You somehow or another, we got this mentality. We're saved. We're going to heaven. I believe with all of my heart. Hey, how many of y'all remember our Lord? How many of y'all remember John 19:30? How many of y'all remember he cried, "It's finished"? Y'all raise your hand. How many of y'all remember he says this? He came into this world for this hour. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He came into the world. He was on a mandate to go in the cross and die. Amen. He said, "It's finished." Thank God. Somehow or another, we got this mentality. We're going to get our children. Get our grandchildren raised. Get the insurance paid up. Crawl off in the back of the bedroom somewhere and just die. Hey, it don't work like that. Sometimes, boy, death comes real unexpectedly. Now watch this. Are you ready? How could he say he left nothing undone? Boy, I love people that's got drive. I like people that's got determination. How would to God we get determined like a pit bulldog? Say it in. I mean a pit bulldog to want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant." I wish we'd get so determined. My wife says, "I've got the determination of a pit bulldog." I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I believe if you're going to start something, finish it. Say amen. Now, I want to show you this. Go back. Look, I got to hurry to go. Look in Joshua, please, in chapter 1, and look in verses 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Our day and time, people don't want to be a servant. Say amen right there. If they can't get a little recognition out of it or some kind of pat on the back, might as well just nod your head. They don't know nothing about the servant of the Lord. And while I'm on that subject, how many of y'all remember our blessed Lord? How many of y'all remember that he took a towel, girded himself, took a basin of water, and washed those men's feet? How many of y'all remember that those men's feet that he washed, one of them was Judas? And by the way, he knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew what do you mean, preacher? The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, it says, "Moses, my servant is dead." God said that about Moses. "My servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise." I'm sorry, verse 1. "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto," would y'all say it back to me? Who? He spoke to Moses, and then Moses, and then God, after Moses died, he spake to Joshua. Boy, I thank God tonight I jump up and down and have a spell. Thank God for every man of God in my life. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about Moses. After Moses died, it says it seemed like it was handed down to who? Joshua in verse 1. "That the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses his minister, saying." Now what I want you to see in chapter 11, it says he left nothing undone. I begin to put it in my mind. That's dangerous to do. I want to preach tonight on leaving nothing undone. I want to run my race, finish my course. Amen. I don't want to be a has-been, used to be. I don't want to fall to the wayside. I'd like to finish well. Amen. But I want you to listen to me. How could Joshua do that? Well, I put it in my mind. You know the reason why? He had a pattern to go by. Thank God. And that pattern was Moses. Amen. Now, my wife, she can sew. My wife has got, literally boxes full of patterns of clothes. I've watched her do it. How many of y'all can sew? Sister, am I not wrong? Usually you've got a pattern. thinking about this, that's dangerous. But you go by the pattern. So Moses was the pattern to Joshua. Some of you tonight had a godly pattern in your life. Some of you had a mama that loved God or a daddy that loved God. Hey, our old grandpa that loved God. Hey, he was what I call the correct pattern. Our day and time, they've got this secular world out here. I'm so sick of it, might as well say amen. What I'm saying is, get you somebody, thank God, that's a godly person, or somebody that's a good pattern. Would y'all say amen? Not this worldly bunch. What do you mean, preacher? I began to put it in my mind. I thought about all these patterns. Personally, I believe this. All these worldly people out here. I am up to here with these so-called pop stars. I'm sick of the hip-hop junk saying it out there. Have you ever noticed this? Have y'all ever noticed how that our young people, thank God you're here tonight, but have you ever noticed how they patterned their lives after this world?
Amen. Yeah.
Say amen, somebody. Y'all took Ritalin. I'm talking about saved people. I'm talking about people. Listen to me. Moses was a pattern to Joshua, and I'll bring it to you in a moment. What I'm saying is, Brother Tom, somewhere back there, somebody was a pattern to you. Somebody was a pattern to you. But our day and time, we got the wrong pattern. We don't want to pattern our life after the Son of God. We don't want to pattern our life after good godly people. No. I'm talking about this secular world. Hey, there's a man, I see him occasionally on the news, and boy, that nauseates me. They call him Vanilla, or I say, where do they come up with these names? And they put about 19 chains around their neck, big gold chains, and they're wearing their britches down on their kneecaps. Amen. And they switch. They don't walk, they switch. Praise God, <that's> him. Wrong pattern. Say amen to me, brother. Won't be on no noise. If you don't agree with me, that's the wrong pattern. Hey, talk to me, ladies. I don't know y'all's pattern. Britney Spears is the wrong pattern. Well, that was pitiful. She's nodding her head. Hey, my heart goes out to that girl. $40-some million in the bank. But look at her. She's fried. Her mind. What do you mean, preacher? But our young people. I know what you want me to do now. I know what I've done wrong. I'll get the thing. She always calmed down. I'm going to do it all over anyway.
Now the battery's down. Well, the light's on. Nobody's home. Britney Spears, let's go back to her mom. Now I can't help this. I have got two granddaughters, 1 18, 1 15. Now I love them. I love my granddaughters. When I'm up in Cincinnati, if I get a chance, I go stay with my daughter. Yeah, she's my daughter. I said, I'm going to move in with you and you will like it. My boy, you know what my boy told me? He said, Daddy, when you get old, if you think you're going to move in with us, you're wrong. I said, I'm going to move in with you and you will like it. He said, Daddy, I am not changing your depends. He said, I will get a pressure hose. That's how much they love their daddy. My point is, I went to stay with my daughter, and my granddaughter was only about 12 or 13. Now she's 18, graduating from school, and she knows better. But they let me stay in her bedroom, me and my wife, and in her bedroom was these pictures of Britney Spears when she is just real young. Now, y'all, I'm not preaching Greek to you people, Emma. I told my daughter, I said, Kimberly, that girl is the wrong pattern to my granddaughter. Say amen. She's the wrong pattern. Boy, if y'all don't perk up, I'm going to stay here next week. We're talking about the right kind of pattern. What do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about, it seems to me like, that our secular world out here, they talk about role models. Amen, Brother Sisson. Wrong kind of pattern. Hey, somebody said, well, Britney Spears, the hottie. Well, whoop-dee-doo. Britney Spears, Brad Pitt. Why do they want to emulate them? Why do they want to be like them for? Why do they want to wear dresses up to here and blouses down to here? Say amen to me. Amen. Wrong role model. Wrong pattern. Say amen. Hey, Joshua had the correct pattern. His name was Moses. Amen. Numbers tells us, if you read your Bible, Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. Yet I find that our day and time, people don't know nothing about meekness. They don't know nothing about humbleness. In fact, people don't want to be humble. Hey, our blessed Lord, hallelujah. You talk about a pattern. If you want a pattern your life after Him, amen. What do you mean, preacher? I begin to put it in my mind. You're influencing someone to the good or to the bad. You are. Hey, I think about this. He used that word politically correct. I'm so sick of that word. You know how to know when a politician's lying? When he opens his low-down mouth, say amen. Lie. I mean, people just lie. That really bothered me till just recently. In 2 Timothy 3, the Bible says there'll be what? They'll be proud, incontinent, fierce, despisers those that are good, and then it says truth breakers. They have no intentions of keeping their word. Brother Sisson, I'm saying some of you had a good pattern to go by. Would y'all nod your head? I'm saying some of you had a daddy that loved God, a mama that loved God, a preacher that loved God, that influenced you to the good, amen. Say, Brother Sisson, well, I want you to watch this. Let's go back. Nobody anymore don't want to have a servant's heart. I get so aggravated. Brother Noble, do y'all remember in years gone by when little boys used to want to be firemen and policemen? How many of y'all remember that? Little boys wanted to be firemen and policemen, wanted to be soldiers. Now they don't want to be soldiers. They don't want to be firemen. They don't want to be policemen. They want to be football stars, basketball stars. Say amen. Wrong pattern. Amen. Let me give y'all this. I'm talking about patterns. I think I told you, I'm going to tell you again. These people that I know personally had those chalets down in Pigeon Forge and that area. They sold all three of them. They had a daughter that was knocked down gorgeously outwardly. I mean, she was a beautiful young girl. You can have radiant beauty outside, be mean as the devil on the inside. Now say amen. You'd have a figure like a figure eight, and hey, what? I've seen people. This girl was the most rebellious young girl I've ever seen in my life. I mean, to her mom and her daddy, somebody been the wrong pattern to her. Her daddy and mama sold everything they had, sold all their chalets, sold all their furniture, and moved to California for her to become a star. That's real for a child, ain't it? They came back dead broke. I mean, literally. I mean, I know, Brother Alex Parakas. It's his wife's sister. They had to loan them money to even get back from California. They went. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars for PR and for somebody to manage her life. And guess what? You look at me. That's the wrong kind of pattern, amen. Am I preaching Greek to you people? Anybody anymore don't want to be? Decency's out the door. Say amen. Hard working, that's out the door. Say amen. They don't. That's not the wrong kind of pattern. They want somebody that's a star, somebody that's got a claim. Say amen right there. You don't measure a man by character, by how much money he's got in the bank, or what the kind of clothes they wear. We was doing good till a moment ago. Hey. I'm saying these are wrong patterns, the world. I begin to put it in mind. I thought about some people, I meet people and it annoys me. And I think about how the world is shaping. Brother Noble had no idea, but you know, he's reverting back to his childhood. He's got some, where's that Play-Doh at? You got your pocket? I know you are. Ain't that pitiful? A grown man, he's probably lived two lifetimes. He thinks he's 62, but he's probably 124. Playing with Play-Doh. That just come out. I couldn't help it. Behave yourself. Listen to me. Have you ever contemplated what kind of a pattern's in your life? A husband that loves his wife or a wife that loves her husband. Children that love their mom and dad. That love the house of God, that love the things of God. But our day and time, no. I mean basketball, football, ungodly rap stars, country music, hip-hoppers, young people. I mean, I go to these cities, and I'm telling you, Brother Jay, it is pathetic what goes on in cities. It's prophetic how they dress. It's prophetic of the language that they use. I'm not a computer major, but I know this. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. What I'm saying in Joshua chapter 11, it says he left nothing undone. The reason why he could do that, he had the right kind of pattern, amen, which was Moses. Say amen right there. Now, go to Joshua, please, in chapter 1. Not only did he have the right kind of pattern, boy, he had a servant's heart. I think about my old mother-in-law. God bless her heart. 90-plus years old. She forgot more about God than I'll ever learn in my life. But you talk about a pattern. You talk about a pattern. She used to say this, and I used to contemplate it, put it in my mind. I don't care what anybody done to her. Here's what she would say. If they can live with it, I can live without it. She had grandkids. I used to get so aggravated. I mean, I'd get upset and mad. Anybody that would take advantage of somebody that's 90 years old ought to be shot. Would y'all say amen? She had a grandson that lived in Florida. They run him out of the state of Kentucky. Guess what? He would call his grandmother and play on her and play on her. She'd send him $500, $500. At one time, he called so much and reversed the charges till they had a phone bill over $1,100. And I told my mother-in-law, I said, Mama, that's enough. She would say, he just needs help. But I said, Mama, he's using you. Well, if I do it with the right kind of heart and I do it out of heart of love, God will bless me for it. What are you going to say to that? Argue with her? I'm telling you, she had more practical knowledge than any woman I ever met in my life. You talk about a pattern, she just loved everybody. I mean, literally, I don't care what anybody, I wish I could get to the point in my life to where nothing did offend me. You better let me put that on rewind again, let y'all absorb that a little while. I wished I could get to the point in my life to where nothing offended me. Well, I wished I had the right, I wished I could be a pattern. My life, I think about my little grandkids. Well, I mean this from my heart, they're not little anymore, but I've tried my best. I believe you ought to get a backbone and say, I want to be a pattern to my children and my grandchildren. Amen. We're influencing somebody to the good or bad. In Joshua, please, in chapter 1, go back, look in your Bible. Now watch. Boy, I begin to put it in my mind. Oh, my. Look, if you don't mind, in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now he's talking to Joshua. Now therefore, rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I've given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now remember, Moses was a pattern to Joshua. Say amen. Now watch this. Look, if you don't mind, in verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even under the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now watch, here it is. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Would y'all say amen? Thank God, hallelujah, he had the right kind of pattern. But thank God he had a partner to go with him. Yeah, what do you mean, brother, sister? Look in your Bible. I'll be with thee. Look in verse 5. Look in verse 5. I will be with thee. You need to underscore that in your Bible. He said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Boy, what a partner. Boy, I love being saved. If you get any better, I couldn't stand it. Somebody, every now and then I used to see these little things on cars. I ride around with people. The preacher I was with last week, God bless his heart, he's 85 years old. I prayed all week long, Lord, please help me. He's not the best driver in the world, and he won't let me drive. I'm not the best driver in the world, but I'm a little better than he is. Lord, I looked up a few times, and he's got a van like the preacher, and he'd pull out on Interstate 81, and I'd look out, and here come a big truck, and all I'd see is a grill. Honestly. And I'd say, oh, Lord, thank you for taking care of me. Now, I'm sorry. If y'all want to jump on me, you can jump on me. A lot of times, if I get in the back seat, I don't put my safety seatbelt on. Trust me, I put it on every night then. Listen to me. You've got a partner that'll never leave you. Look in your Bible. He'll never forsake you. The reason why Joshua could say he left nothing undone, he had the right kind of pattern, but thank God he had the right partner to go with him, amen. But I see these little signs that says, God is my co-pilot. You better start letting him pilot the things. Amen right there. Romans 8 and verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But if so be that Christ dwell in you. I was telling the young people this morning, Christianity is more than walking down a church aisle. I was preaching on how real is God to you. What is a Christian? I'm saying it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Y'all ever had a partner like that? This is a pitiful bunch, I'm telling you. Not no silent partner either, son. I'm talking about one that lives inside of you. Isn't that wonderful? He's a partner. Goes everywhere I go, takes care of me. Hallelujah. Hey, I've never missed a meal. Some of y'all ain't sure enough of missed a meal. But look in your Bible. I'm saying if he is inside of us and he's our partner, he takes care of us. And I personally believe this. He takes care of you far more than you think he does. Hey, brother, Illinois. My mother-in-law, God bless her heart. Let me tell you this one. I'm talking about somebody takes care of you. She was about, I don't know, about 70 when this happened. My father-in-law, boy, you talk about a pattern. My father-in-law was a pattern to me. You talk about an honest man. You talk about a decent man. You talk about a man that had character and had integrity was my father-in-law. Boy, he was a real pattern to me at 8, 17 years old. I've always been able to wire and plumb and build. I like it. We bought my mother-in-law. All of us got together, and we bought her one of them brand new, right out of the store Sears microwave. One of them weighed about 90 pounds. You had to put that thing on one. You still got yours. I heard that. Yeah, it still works, John. But anyway, you had to put it on it. You couldn't have it on a single circuit. So I told my mom, I said, she kept kicking breakers. Burning them. That's when they had the fuses in. Do y'all remember they used to have them little four fuses in houses? Y'all remember them, Jay? Had the little fuses. You remember this, Larry? Huh? You remember when the fuses? Whoa. I told you there's another one that believes in reincarnation. He probably coming on Noah's Ark. But in years gone by, girls, they didn't have circuit breakers. They had fuses. And used to, the old people in years gone by, when they blow the fuse, they'd take the fuse out, put a penny behind it, screw the fuse up on it. Dangerous to do that. Really? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Take the fuse out, put a penny in, and tighten it up. Okay, times is hard. And so anyway, I told Mama, I said, I am going to wire this house for you. I'm going to put you in a new circuit breaker to work that microwave. Man, it was blistering hot. Me and Nathan, my boy, Nathan helped me. We pulled all the wire, and we was rerouting all that wire. And you know, it was so hot up in that attic. I had a big pair of side cutters. And where they put that penny behind that fuse, all the insulation, Larry, had just melted off the wire. So I cut a big chunk of it out, come downstairs, get me a cup of coffee. I said, Mamma, I want you to look at this. It's a wonder this house had not burned down. And that square-eyed voice. That ain't the way that goes. Square-eyed something. But anyway, Mamma looked at me and she said, this is calm. She said, I reckon you've never read, son, that he gives his angels charge of thee. And she said, I guess you know them. They're just up there doing this, just cooling it down. Shut me up, amen. You can't argue with that, can you? Evidently, y'all don't believe that. Let me tell you a good one. If I told you the times in my personal life in 26 years in evangelism that God has took care of my life, me personally, that he's took care of my life personally, I'm not that good a driver. God knows I'm not that good a driver. I try to drive defensively. Did you know up until just a few months ago, did you know I've never put a dent on a car, never had a flat tire until just recently? I got this bright idea. Every now and then I get these real bright ideas. Ain't that pitiful? I had a 65 short bed little Chevrolet that I love more than life itself. Larry, I love that old truck. I love that truck. I had it for years and years and years and years. I'd come in and I'd primer it and fix it. You ever see it down camp? I'd primer it, fix this, fix that. So this guy, I had a Ruger 357, and he wanted that gun. He wanted the gun. He had a 454 big block Chevrolet that I wanted. Man, it's loaded up with all that billet junk, all that chrome. So I give him the gun, took the big old 454 big block, took the 350 out, put the 454 big block in there. That's before gas is like it is now. Lord, I'm telling you, I couldn't pass a gas station. That thing, look, it just sucked gas down. So this guy wanted that truck and wanted the truck. I'll get on with it in a minute, so I let him have his truck. Sold it to him. This guy said, Brother Sisson, you need a truck? I said, man, I need me a truck bad. He said, come up here. I went up there to Science Hill, got me a 86 Yo-Yo. That's a Toyota if y'all don't know what that thing is. I drug that thing home, put brakes on it, put a windshield in it. I fixed that old truck. Man, I was a happy camper. Man, I mean, I could put $20 in that thing and drive and drive and drive and drive and drive. I was a happy camper. My son-in-law said, wanted me to take him to Nancy. Now, we're talking about how God takes care of him, how he's a partner. I am sitting like this. And I'm making a left-hand turn. Here comes a work truck flying. I'm sitting there with my turning signal and my seatbelt. Thank God. I looked up, Don, and here come that work truck with ladders on top of them. And I'm talking about, son, he hit me so hard. Boom! He hit me right behind the cab in the bed. The windshield busted out, the side glass busted out, and the rear view mirror come out and went right down through here. Man, it took hair, blood. You ought to see me. I had glass all in my eyes, all in my head. They thought they'd kill me. Here come all the emergency people, ambulances. Here come two deputy sheriffs. Here come the fire truck. Wasn't nothing on fire. They all come out there, and they all know me. They all hear me on the radio. I said, boys, ain't there somebody else in this county y'all can look after? Sitting out there on the side of the road bleeding, you ought to see me. And there's a part in my hair and trying to get. I said, boys, I'm all right. We might need you to pray for us. I want you to listen to this. I didn't realize it at the time. Not then. I got home and my wife, she looked at me and boy, blood run down my face and all in my eyes. I liked it. She made over me. Thought I was dead. My granddaughter's ass all that. Oh, Papa. I liked it. I just sat there and said, go ahead. I wasn't hurt. They said if it had been any place other than my head, it'd hurt me. Amen. Won't you listen to this? If I had pulled out, he'd have hit me right in the driver's side of the door. He's doing 55 miles an hour. It would have killed me. Boy, I thank God for God looking after me. That's one instant. Let me tell you another one. I was coming down 81 one night, 81, Interstate 81 out of Virginia. It's late of the night, drizzling rain. I've been driving side by side a truck that's pulling double and a van. And I had this instinctively inside of me I love coffee. Send me to hell, but I love coffee. So I pulled off, got me a fresh cup of coffee at a McDonald's. Got back on the interstate, not more than 10 minutes. I went down the road, and all of a sudden, that 18-wheeler had jackknifed, and that van had run right up underneath it. Listen to me. I stopped me in another car, got out, went to the driver's side. I knew he was dead. I went to the passenger side. I had a heartbeat. Trying to get him out of the van. Watch this. All of a sudden, these helicopters came with these big lights. You know what I mean? It's shining down. State troopers come. All these emergency people come. State trooper come to me. And he said, is that your car? I said, yes, sir. He said, are you involved in any way in the accident? I said, no, sir. He said, was you a witness? I said, no, sir. He said, then you need to get your car. Either pull it over or just go on about your business. I said, okay. I got in that car. And I was as calm as you are. Until I got maybe 10 miles down the road, and I thought, if I had not got off and got a coffee, I'd have been right beside the van, right beside the truck when they jackknifed. It's not your good driving. You may think that you're at the steering wheel of your life, but not as much as you think you are. What I'm saying is the reason why Joshua, he could say he left nothing undone. Thank God he had the right kind of a pattern. But then he had a partner to go with him. Thank God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Boy, I bless his name. Say, but I act like you if I got save you. Might act worse. Get a good dose. Oh, I thank God for His watch care over me. I do. How many of you ever go to bed at night and think about dying? Sometimes, I mean, you're more closer to death when you're asleep than you are any other time in your life. You ever stop to think? You're subconsciously, you don't even know what your surroundings are when you're asleep. But God looks after you and takes care of you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Thank God. Hallelujah. Hey, boy, there's been a few times in my life, boy, that God's been so good to me. And I think about the people that He's brought into my life that's helped me along the way. You think I could ever forget people like that? But yet we forget how good God's been to us. We neglect Him. Say amen right there. The third thing I want you to see, write this down for me. Not only did He have a pattern, but thank God He had a partner. But the third thing, look in your Bible in Joshua chapter 1, but He had a promise. I want you to look in your Bible. Please look in your Bible. Everybody, verses 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Look in verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? This is still God talking to who? Joshua. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong, be of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a promise, amen. Everybody knows I love old cars. And I was down in Rome, Georgia. And I said, boy, if I'd have had some of them old cars that I give away. Well, literally, I mean, give them away. I had a 55 Chevrolet that I sold that thing for $900. I ought have been shot. $900. That same 55 Chevrolet would be 6 or 8, maybe 10 times more than that now, maybe more than that. Nice 55 Chevrolet, just $900. I had a 54 Chevrolet, two-door hardtop, just gave that thing practically away. I ought have been shot. So I was just telling them about all the cars that I had that I fixed and just practically gave them away. After the service is over, this man and his wife come up and said, preacher, since you've been such a blessing to us, said, we're going to get you a 57 Chevrolet, two-door hardtop. I said, whoopee, amen. I had a spell, amen. The next night, they brought it to me, one of them little biddies. I still got it. They kept their promise. I got the thing on my shelf. Listen to me. I'm saying that as Joshua, he says he left nothing undone. How could he do that? Listen to me. I don't know if you've ever had anybody promise you anything or not. I have no idea. I don't know if you've ever had anybody promise you. But I know one thing right here. There's over 30,000 in this book. Let me give you one. Turn with me right fast to the New Testament, just as fast as you can get there. Turn with me to the book of Titus, please, just for a moment. Please, everybody go there just for a moment. Now, we're talking about how, he says, thou shalt have good success. The Word of God in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O God, thy Word is settled in heaven. You have the promise, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, amen. Hello. Now, read Titus, please, chapter 1. We're talking about a promise. Look in verse 2, please. Ready? In hope of eternal life, Paul talking to young Titus, which that God cannot lie, promised before the world began. Hello. That's what the book says, ain't it, Brother Jay? That he promised that before the world ever began. Hallelujah. There's been times in my life that people's promised me things, and for some reason they could not keep their promise. But I can tell you after 40-some years of my life, God's never, ever, ever broke a promise. Amen. Never broke a promise. Can you believe this? In all these years I enjoy being saved. I could run a little while, but I mean, I'm not past running it. But I think about how good God's been to me personally, just me. And my family, never had to go to jail, not had to get one of my kids out of jail, never seen one of them on drugs, not messed up. Say amen right there. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And then watch this, them little old grandkids. Boy, I love them grandkids. You know what I love about my grandkids? Take them and go home. They don't come back, I go get them. But I'm saying these promises that God gives us. Now listen to me. How many of you don't look around at anybody else and you'd say, Brother Sisson, God is true to his promises? Now, I want you to slip your hand up if you understand what I just said. God is true to his promises. God is true to his promises. Can you believe in 40-some years, I don't think I've ever missed a meal. That's a blessing. Boy, Kathy's a good cook. Noble's missed a few. But I ain't never missed a meal. Can you believe all these many years we're talking about the abiding promises of God? How could Joshua say he left nothing undone? How could he do that? One, he had the right kind of patterns. Amen. Am I right, brother? Number two, he had a partner to go with him everywhere he went. Number three, thank God he lived on those promises. It says he left nothing undone. If I have to die and have to go by the way of the grave, I don't want them to file past my coffin. And I don't want them saying, he used to be a preacher. Boy, he used to attend church all the time. Boy, he used to go to camp meeting. Boy, he used to go on visitation. Boy, he used to witness to people. Boy, he used to read his Bible. Miss Kathy, your mama's still alive. Isn't that a blessing? I'll guarantee your mama was a pattern to you. How many of you just understood what I just said? How many of you would look back in the subconscious of your mind and say, I had a godly mother, a godly daddy, or grandpa, grandma, preacher, and say, I had a pattern in my life. A pattern in my life. Boy, I thank God for that pattern. Could I tell y'all I had a sixth grade school teacher? Boy, you talk about a pattern. Sixth grade school teacher wore a little brown suit and always smelled like aqua velva. He'd get all of us kids, 30-some of us, and say, would you bow your head? We're in class. Every morning of our life in the sixth grade, he would pray over every one of us. Sixth grade school teacher. And there'd be times, Brother Jay, that tears would be running down his face on his desk. It was in that little old town called Crab Orchard. You know what? We're talking about a pattern. I was a hoodlum. I hated to see him come to town worse than anything in the world. Wore that same brown suit, but he carried a Bible everywhere he went. You know what he'd tell me? He'd say, Mel, don't mess your life up. Mel, did you know he had everything in order for me to go to Berea College? All I had to do was just sign the papers and be willing to go. Ain't that a sight? He took such an interest in my life and got so involved in my life. You talk about a man loving God. Was my sixth grade school teacher by the name of Joseph Edmondson. When God called me to preach after, as it was in the 70s, 60s, 69, his wife Grace called me up and said, Mel, would you come down and would you eat a meal with me? My wife and I went down and ate with her. Can you believe she took me in the back bedroom and gave me all of his books? And I said, Miss Grace, I don't want, please don't. She said, he would want you to have them. And that's not all this story. So I took the books, put them in my study. I love them. I love them old books. And every now and then I'll open one of them books and I'll die. He had the most meticulous handwriting of any human I ever met in my life. And in those books he'll say, I went to town today and I seen Bobby. God help me to pray for Bobby. I went to town today and I seen Benny. God help me to pray for Benny. I seen Melvin. God help me to pray for Melvin. The most meticulous handwriting of any human I ever met in my life. In little bitty square index cards, I still got every one of them. You talk about a man was a pattern to an individual. Kids today need the right kind of pattern. Say amen. They need to see us loving each other. They don't need to see all this fussing, fighting, bickering. I'm more important than you are. And these churches ought not have these big eyes and little U's. Boy, that was pitiful. Say amen. Amen. They ought not be these things. These young ladies and young men, when they come to the house of God, they shouldn't feel all this bickerness and ill spirit. Say amen. Amen. People don't love each other, don't care about each other. We ought to want to be a pattern. And then we ought to say, God, from my heart, thank you that you're a partner that said you'll never leave me. me back up on this and talk about a partner. Talk about somebody to die, somebody to go to leave this world with. I was in High Point, North Carolina in a revival meeting. And my wife called me and she said, Mel, if you want to see Mom, you better come. On Wednesday night, I closed out, got in that car, and I drove all the way from High Point, North Carolina, drove all the way to Jewish Hospital in Cincinnati. I walked in that hospital room, and there's my mother-in-law that I love more than life itself. Honestly, she and I have been together 40 years, and can you believe this? Not one time did we ever have the first argument. And when me and my wife would get in an argument, she'd always take up for me. But you talk about a woman loving God. We're standing around her bed, Brother Lawrence, standing around her bed. She's 93 years old. Know more about God than I'll probably ever learn in my life. And we're talking about somebody to go with you. We're in that hospital room, no oxygen, no medication, no nothing. And she's just as calm as any person you've ever seen in your life. She's not struggling. She's not fighting. And all the family is standing around there. My wife's standing right beside me. And I said, wouldn't it be wonderful just to close your eyes and wake up in heaven? Can you believe I looked down and my mother-in-law went out on that sentence? Wouldn't it be wonderful just close your eyes and wake up in heaven? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just close your eyes and wake up in glory. Hallelujah, thank God. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? I shouted, scared the nurses to death, scared all of them to death. Because I realized it right there. Hey, they come and carried her right into the presence of God. We're talking about somebody that said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? I've got to tell you this, Brother Noble. I come home. They asked me, they said, Brother Sisson, would you go make this visit? I said, well, yeah. So I went to Cumberland Regional Hospital. Went in that room. That man looked at me. And they told him who I was. And he said, I don't hear nothing about your heaven. I don't hear nothing about hell. I'm hurt. You ought to hurt this man. I don't hear nothing about your heaven. I don't hear nothing about hell. I'm hurting. My body's hurting. Do you hear me? I said, sir, could I pray with you? No, I don't want nobody praying with me. And I saw that man die in that kind of condition. Not a thing I could do. Not one thing I could do. I never felt so helpless and hopeless in my life as I stood beside that man and watched him leave this world. As he struggled and his eyes went back in his head, and I begged the Lord. I said, I don't never want to see nobody die like that again. Do you see the contrast? He left nothing undone. He left nothing undone. Let me say it again. He left nothing undone. How could he do that, Brother Sisson? Had the right kind of pattern. Had a promise to go on. Then he had a partner to go with him. Now, folks, listen to me before we close. There are some bad times waiting on us out this side. I'm just down the road. You can put that down. You better get you somebody that'll go with you. You know what I want to do now? Spirit of God just told me to quit. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed.